content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the January/February issue of Food Network Magazine, some articles from Food and Wine website, and if we've got time, tasteofhome.com. Starting off, a taste of 2023. Here they are, the food and drinks you'll see everywhere this year. We've got buckwheat, croissants, dill pickle, boozy cheese, fishless fish, sesame, honeycomb, chewy desserts, tequila, and hibiscus. So let's just jump right in with buckwheat. Chefs and home cooks are reimagining the millennia-old staple. It's not easy to be trendy when you're 5 or 6,000 years old, but buckwheat, a humble, not particularly pretty, grain-like seed, has emerged as one of the hottest ingredients of the year. Fans are obsessed with its nutty flavor, mixing buckwheat into pastas, soups, and every imaginable form of batter, cookies, waffles, brownies, cakes, the works. The trend has helped refresh the ancient grain market, which is projected to grow from $457 million to $6 billion by 2027. Nostalgia has something to do with it. People might remember eating buckwheat pancakes with their grandparents. The familiar taste appeals, says Caroline Sluter, program director of the Whole Grain Council. Remix your own breakfast spread with buckwheat eats. Next up, we've got croissants. You can improve on a classic, and the next wave of fillings, flavors, and shapes proves it. Croissants never go out of style, but a decade has passed since the cronut revolution, so we were due for another shake-up. This time around, croissants are bursting with flavors like ube, black truffle, and prosciutto Asiago. And the innovations keep coming in the form of croissant chips by Michael and Augustin, croissant croutons from Trader Joe's, and mini croissant cereal, an Instagram hit by at LAPPARTEMENT4F. That's at LAAPARTMENT4F. If you want a version that'll last longer than your coffee break, no problem. Kate Spade sells a croissant-shaped clutch. The next item on our list is dill pickle. We'll take the sharp, vinegary punch of a pickle wherever we can get it. Pucker up, pickle lovers. This is going to be your year. Amazon will now deliver a gallon jug of pickle juice to your doorstep and 7,000 other pickled-flavored wonders. Superfans can savor pickle-flavored cotton candy, almonds, and pretzels, dip their pickle-flavored tortilla chips in Grillo's pickle de gallo, and then pair it all with the best-made sour pickle beer. Why the pickle frenzy? The surge of fermented foods like kimchi and sauerkraut has made us crave even more salty, sour food. And there's science behind the phenomenon. Sour flavor releases mood-boosting serotonin. All pickle recipes should make you happy. Taking a pause of our best of 2023 list, I've got an article now for something quite interesting from tasteofhome.com. This is the germiest thing in your kitchen right now. You'll be shocked to learn that it's not your garbage can or your sink that has the most germs in your kitchen. We all know that our kitchens can be, well, germy, from prepping food on our cutting boards to tossing things in the trash and everything in between. There is the chance for cross-contamination everywhere we touch. But while you might be thinking that the germiest thing in your kitchen is, say, the inside of your sink or maybe your kitchen towels, a new study reveals a far more surprising culprit. It's actually your spice jars that are harboring the most significant amounts of germs in your kitchen right now. Why do my spice jars have so many germs? Simply put, we've all been taught to wipe down our cutting boards and counters, but has anyone ever told you to wipe down your spice jars after using them? Probably not. In the study, published in the Journal of Food Protection, researchers studied 371 adults cooking an identical turkey burger recipe in kitchens of various sizes, ranging from smaller apartment kitchens to teaching kitchens. They observed how people who prepared raw ground turkey burgers cross-contaminated various surfaces in a kitchen. By a large margin, the spice jars contained the most germs, with 48% showing evidence of contamination. Cutting boards and trash can lids harbored the second and third most germs. Faucet handles faced the least contamination. The findings shocked researchers, according to Donald Schaffner, a food science professor at Rutgers University's School of Environmental and Biological Sciences, who led the study. We were surprised because we had not seen evidence of spice container contamination before, Schaffner told Food Safety News. Most research on kitchen cross-contamination focused on kitchen cutting boards or faucet handles and has neglected surfaces like spice containers, he said. How do I keep my spice jars germ-free? Obviously, it's important to wipe down your spice jars, but that's not the whole story. According to Benjamin Chapman, Department Head of Agricultural and Human Sciences at North Carolina State University, it's also about hand washing during meal prep, not just when you begin cooking or finish up. We've tried to distill messages into things that are simple, like after handling meat, wash your hands, Chapman told the Washington Post. The more we look at what people actually do in the kitchen, we realize we have to be more prescriptive. When you're done handling a turkey patty, you need to wash your hands before you grab that spice jar. And I know I am guilty of definitely contaminating my spice jars after handling a piece of raw meat. So make sure you keep those germs off of those spice jars. Back to our taste of 23. Next up, boozy cheese. That's right, B-O-O-Z-Y cheese. Our new favorite cheese dishes come with a twist. Call it the ultimate food and drink pairing. Cheesemakers are collaborating with local breweries and wineries to produce boozy takes on popular artisanal cheeses. They're creating exciting new varieties without having to reinvent the wheel, says Rachel Perez, a board member of the American Cheese Society. Recent award winners include a raclette-style cheese washed in wine from Vermont's Jasper Hill Creamery, a cheddar bathed in chartreuse from Wisconsin's Deer Creek Cheese, and a smooth blue wrapped in pear brandy-soaked grape leaves from Oregon's Rogue Creamery. Grocery store cheeses have generated similar buzz, like a bourbon cheddar parm from Murray's Cheese at Kroger, and cheddars made with Irish cream liqueur, vodka, and whiskey sold at Aldi. Bring the trend to your dinner table with one of the recipes from the Test Kitchen. And you can find those recipes in the January-February issue of Food Network Magazine. Fishless fish. The trendiest seafood doesn't come from the ocean. It's time to try a faux fillet. America is hooked on vegan seafood. Annual sales of mock shrimp, fish fillets, crab cakes, lobster, and sushi-grade tuna are up 14%, due in large part to companies like Good Catch, Gardein, and Sophie's Kitchen, whose products mimic the texture and briny zip of the real deal. Unlike imitation crab, which contains actual fish turned into a paste and dyed to resemble crab, new plant-based seafood is made with vegetables, legumes, and umami-rich seaweed and mushrooms. At the vegan fast food chains Honeybee Burger and PLNT Burger, fans say the filet of not fish sandwiches are dead ringers for McDonald's filet of fish. Vegans aren't the only ones rejoicing. Omnivores looking to eat more sustainably are driving the trend, says Rachel Dreskin, CEO of the Plant-Based Foods Association. We're seeing a lot of innovation. There's really no limit to what's possible. Next up, sesame. The little seeds are finally getting the attention they deserve. Sesame's rise to fame has been slow and steady. It's been thousands of years in the making, but you're going to encounter these magical seeds in the coming year more than ever before. Along with new sesame milks and creamers, the latest addition to the plant-based dairy aisle, plenty of big, bold, sesame-proud products have hit the market, including oatmeal, ice cream, and intense black sesame butter that you can spread on toast. Meanwhile, home cooks are putting tahini, which is sesame paste, into much more than hummus and dressings. They're adding it to burgers, breads, brownies, you name it. And analysts are predicting a 29% boom in the tahini market over the next 5 years. We love sesame in all its forms, but to properly celebrate it, we created a recipe that shows off the seeds themselves in all their glory. And it just happens to be sesame roast chicken. Taking a break from that, we've got from Food and Wine, egg smuggling is on the rise at the U.S. border as prices soar. U.S. Customs and Border Protections say it's experienced a 108% increase in the number of eggs and poultry products seized at U.S. ports of entry. The cost of eggs has steadily increased over the last year to the point where all of us have probably stared at the price and thought, that can't be right. But it's true. The average cost for a dozen eggs hit $4.25 in December, and some states, 12 eggs are selling for over $7. But in Juarez, Mexico, shoppers can pick up a mega carton of 30 eggs for the incredible by comparison price of $3.40. That kind of bargain seems to have prompted some U.S. citizens to travel across the border to buy eggs in Mexico, despite the fact that it's against federal law to bring uncooked eggs or poultry products across the border. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, between October 1st and December 31st of 2022, it saw a 108% increase in the number of eggs and poultry products seized at U.S. ports of entry. My advice is, don't bring them over, CBP Supervisory Agriculture Specialist Charles Payne told the online publication Border Report. If you fail to declare them or try to smuggle them, you face civil penalties. Those penalties aren't cheap either. The fines for bringing undeclared raw eggs into the U.S. start at $300 and could increase to as much as $10,000. Before you get any ideas, no, you can't just declare your egg haul to the CBP officers and then drive home to make a less expensive omelet. Even declared raw eggs will be seized and incinerated. but declaring that you're transporting eggs will save you from any financial penalties. The advantage of declaring is we will pick it up with no penalty issued, Payne said. If you fail to declare it, or if you attempt to smuggle it, there's going to be a penalty. On Wednesday, Jennifer De La O, the director of field operations at the CBP's office in San Diego, tweeted that those ports of entry have also seen an uptick in egg smugglers. The San Diego field office has recently noticed an increase in the number of eggs intercepted at our ports of entry, she wrote. As a reminder, uncooked eggs are prohibited entry from Mexico into the U.S. Failure to declare agriculture items can result in penalties of up to $10,000. Specialist Payne did confirm to NBC San Diego that, quote-unquote, personal meals containing cooked eggs or cooked poultry would be allowed to cross the border. Sounds like you might want to get that omelet to go. Next on our list, honeycomb. This old-fashioned candy has a new generation of fans. No one bites into a piece of honeycomb candy without taking a good long look at it first. You can't help but marvel at the strange sponge-like appearance, and once you taste it, the airy crunch and intense caramelized sugar flavor are just as mind-blowing. The treat has a long history in this country. Buffalo is famous for its chocolate-coated sponge candy, and around the world. But Korean honeycomb, called dalgona, gets the credit for creating an international frenzy. Contestants on the Netflix hit Squid Games were challenged to carve shapes out of dalgona with a needle, and suddenly TikTok exploded with tutorials on how to make the candy. Now chefs are adding it to dessert menus, mixologists are serving it as a drink garnish, and cooks of all ages are getting their thrills trying this science experiment at home. This recipe isn't as tricky as it looks. Baking soda added to hot melted sugar foams up and creates all those amazing air pockets. Give it a try. So here's my recipe, not mine, for honeycomb candy. You need cooking spray, a quarter cup of water, quarter cup of light corn syrup, 1.5 cups of sugar, and 1 tablespoon of baking soda. Coat a rimmed baking sheet with cooking spray. Combine the water, corn syrup, and sugar in a heavy medium saucepan. Bring the mixture to a boil over medium-high heat and cook without stirring until a candy thermometer registers 300 degrees. It's about 10 to 12 minutes. Stir in the baking soda. The mixture will foam up. Immediately pour the mixture onto the baking sheet. Do not spread. It's okay if your mixture doesn't go to the edge. Let harden about 1 hour. Break the honeycomb into pieces and then enjoy it. Chewy desserts. Everyone's fascinated by the texture of mochi. No wonder new treats are springing up everywhere. And that word might be mochi, I'm not sure. It's spelled M-O-C-H-I. Walk the aisles of Walmart, Piggly Wiggly, or Trader Joe's, and you'll find mochi in all forms. Chubby mochi rounds filled with ice cream, mini marshmallow-like rainberry mochi, mochi cake mixes. Mochi is a dense, chewy rice paste first popularized in Japan, and if you haven't encountered it at the supermarket, you've more than likely seen it elsewhere. Mochi Nut, a mochi donut chain with popular pistachio, red velvet, and Nutella treats, is expanding across the country, and Mochi Doki, a mochi ice cream company, is branching out into grocery stores. Glutinous rice flour gives mochi sweets their pleasing elasticity, a texture that gained traction with the boom of bubble tea and its gummy tapioca pearls known as boba. That chewy texture is referred to as QQ, which loosely translate to bouncy in Taiwanese, says Kat Liu, author of Modern Asian Baking at Home. It's why boba and mochi are like magic. There are so many colors and flavors, and all that fun chewiness makes you feel like a kid again. Get in on the trend. And next to last, we've got tequila. The bar cart staple is shaking up the cocktail world. Tequila is fast becoming America's liquor of choice. It's now second only to vodka in annual sales. Fueling the interest are private label launches by Kendall Jenner, Nick Jonas, LeBron James, Rita Ora, and Guy Fieri, who partnered with rocker Sammy Hagar to produce Santo Tequila and Mezquila, part mezcal. Dos Equis got into the game recently with a canned lime margarita, and Coca-Cola debuted a Paloma made with Fresca. Join the fun by making this cocktail from one of those stars, Bobby Flay's Tequila Grapefruit Martinis. 8 ounces of silver tequila, such as Herradura, 4 ounces of pink grapefruit juice, plus more for the rims, 2 ounces of dry vermouth, 10 dashes of grapefruit bitters, 1 tiny splash of fresh orange juice, sanding sugar for the rims, candied grapefruit rind for garnish. Combine the tequila, grapefruit juice, vermouth, bitters, and orange juice in a cocktail shaker. Fill the shaker with ice and shake well. Dip the rims of martini or coupe glasses in grapefruit juice, and then dip them in the sanding sugar. Strain the cocktail into the glasses and garnish with candied grapefruit rind. And Bobby Flay says this, "Grapefruit has that fruity and tart brightness I love. It's the perfect foil for tequila." And finally, the flavor of the year, hibiscus. This popular ingredient gives a whole new meaning to flower power. Everyone is looking for bigger, bolder flavors, and hibiscus delivers. The electric pink flower is boldly floral and unmistakably tangy, and we've all become obsessed. The taste is a showstopper, like the fabulous dress at a party everyone notices, says Susie Badaracco, president of food trend forecaster Culinary Tides, Inc. While the tart, citrusy flowers have been a popular ingredient in tea and cocktails for ages, Google searches for hibiscus drinks have doubled in the past year, and chefs are adding the flavor to everything from appetizers to desserts. Hibiscus mentions on restaurant menus have risen 24% over the past few years. You'll also find it all over the grocery store in yogurt, goat cheese, sparkling water, and sorbet, to name a few. Bonus, it's full of vitamin C and other antioxidants. Back to Food and Wine magazine's website. There's a new Girl Scout cookie you need to know about. It's the most wonderful time of the year. In the words of Shelley Long and her troop from Beverly Hills, it's cookie time, it's cookie time, it's cookie time. Yes, it's the greatest season of all, Girl Scout cookie season. The organization is back with all its tried and true classics, including the Thin Mints, Samoas, and peanut butter patties. But this year, it's bringing something new, and it's known as Raspberry Rally. According to the Girl Scouts website, Raspberry Rally cookies come with a thin and crispy exterior infused with raspberry flavor, all dipped in a delicious chocolate coating. They may look like Thin Mints sisters, but these cookies have a delicious taste that's all their own, the site added. This new flavor is only available as an online exclusive, so don't expect your local troop to have it on hand. But you can purchase a box, or two, or 12, online and have it shipped directly to you, which the organization notes helps Girl Scouts, helps teach Girl Scouts the ultimate 2023 lesson, how to market and build their e-commerce business. What makes Girl Scout cookies even sweeter? Behind every box is a girl learning important skills to power her leadership journey and unlock a world of opportunities. Wendy Liu, GSUSA's Chief Revenue Officer, shared in a statement, "Financial literacy is not only a critical skill required for entrepreneurship, but an essential life skill. Ready to place your order? You'll have to wait until February 27th to order online, but at that time, you can place an order and have it shipped directly to your home." The organization additionally explained, if you know a registered Girl Scout, you can also reach out and see if she's currently selling cookies. If you don't know one offhand, you can always use the cookie finder on the website to find a booth near you. And just as a general reminder, these cookies are not just delicious, but also go toward funding even more projects for children in your area to take part in. As Girl Scouts explained on its site, all of the net revenue raised through the Girl Scout cookie program, 100% of it stays with the local council and troops. Troops may use the money earned to fund a project that will improve their community or donate the money to a worthy cause. So go ahead, order an extra box. I've just got a little bit more time left, so I'm going to give you a few facts about pretzels. Cheese sauce is by far America's soft pretzel dip of choice. Mustard is a distant second. And these come from the Food Network magazine. In Luxembourg, locals celebrate Pretzel Sunday on the fourth Sunday of Lent. The tradition is to give your loved one a sweet almond pretzel. And the pretzel emoji was introduced in 2017, 2 years after the popcorn emoji. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and I'll see you next month for the March episode of Flavor.